Hello and welcome to the Sales Technology Training Program call. This is Rick Cooper. Thanks for joining me today. I've got a great call planned for you. I want to encourage you while we're on the call today to join me out on Facebook, and you can go to the Sales Technology Training Program group on Facebook. You can just click on the link in the email message that I sent out today as a reminder. And let's set a goal for today's call of, let's see, comment goal of 50. I have a good feeling on the call today, so I think, in fact, I see that Roy just joined in and just posted a message and said, "Hi, Rick, just got on the call as you were muting the line. You dodged a bullet." Yep. So you're going to have to make up for the missing out on the greeting at the beginning, Roy, and help lead the charge to gather all of our golden nuggets on the call today. And want to welcome the other members that are on the call with me live right now, Brian Hearn, Karen Kennedy, Alan Murphy, Roy Rasmussen, and it looks like Susan Schlieff just popped on. Thanks for joining in, Susan. We're just getting started here, and I want to encourage you on today's call. Well, first of all, we'll cover 30 minutes of content and 30 minutes of Q&A. You can check your email for a copy of the notes from today's call. To ask a question or to share a win, you can email me at rick@socialmediaoutcomes.com. And a great place to be on the internet during the call today is out in our Facebook group, and join us out at the Sales Technology Training Program group. And in a moment, we'll get onto our content for today. Today, we're going to be talking about opt-in pages. But I want to remind you, you can access all the recordings from the calls out on the membership page. Again, you'll find the link in the email message that I sent out. And you can go out and listen to all the past calls that I've recorded for the program. There are 12 modules of content. This is a 12-week program, and we take you step-by-step through each one of the 12 modules. And if you take a look at the details for the modules, they actually correspond to the three key systems that Eric Lofholm teaches, which are lead generation, appointment setting, and lead conversion, which he says are the three key systems you need in your business. So I designed the program around those three key systems. And today we'll be talking about opt-in pages. Now, also wanted to let you know about a couple of upcoming opportunities this week. I have a couple of calls that I'm doing, and I encourage you to attend. One of them I'll be doing is tomorrow evening. That would be Wednesday, August 20th, and that will be at 5 p.m. Pacific time. And for that call, I will be talking about 10 business lessons that I've learned over 10 years in business. In fact, I celebrated 11 years in business back in May. And so I want to encourage you to sign up for that call, and I'll get you the link here in just a second. It is at, let's see here, one moment. Here we go. This looks like the right one. socialmediaoutcomes.com/10lessons. So let me add it here, 10 lessons call at, and then the other one is on blogging strategies, and that one's going to be coming up on Thursday. So I'll get you the link for that one as well. So the first one is socialmediaoutcomes.com/10lessons, and I just shared the link, and it should pop in with, yep, there it is, perfect. And then the next one is coming up on Thursday, so let me give you the time of that call as well. So that will be Thursday the 21st. And I actually have an event set up on my Facebook page. You can go out there and check to see what events are coming up. That one is at facebook.com/socialmediaoutcomes. But let me share the link here for this call. This would be blogging strategies, and I'll just pop the link in. All right, so both of those calls are listed now out in the Facebook group. You can just check the conversation thread there to get access to all those. And on that call, by the way, on the one on the blogging strategies, I'm going to be talking about some ideas that will help you to get into action to blog more consistently. And if you don't have a blog, I'll be talking about how to get how to start a blog. So I'll talk about tips to identify what topics to write about, how to quickly write your blog posts, and also techniques for scheduling content to post. And so those are all great strategies that will get you into action. By the way, that one is on Thursday, the 21st at 10 a.m. Pacific. So let's go ahead and dive into the content for today's call. Today we're talking about opt-in pages. And this is all about lead generation. What is an opt-in page? It is a web page where somebody can go out and opt in to your email list. So in order to make this strategy work, you need an email list. So let's do a little exercise here. I want you to get into action and get out into the Facebook group while we're doing the call today. I want you to let me know what kind of email marketing system that you currently use. In fact, I know, I think for a number of you, what you're using, but go ahead and post it out of the Facebook group and let me know. Just, you know, type in the name. In fact, I'll just I'll type it out here. Exercise, what email marketing system do you use? And then I will put one shopping cart is the system that I use. And, you know, I'll talk a little bit later about email marketing, since this is such a key piece here with the opt-in page, and talk about why some of the strategies that I'm using around email marketing right now. But go ahead and post yours out there so that we can all see what you're using, and that will, you know, give each other ideas, because some of you may not have an email marketing system yet. That might be something on your list to work on. And that's what happens a lot of times when it comes to technology, is that you may have a strategy like an opt-in page that you want to do, but there's something technology-wise that you haven't implemented yet that you need to in order to be able to accomplish your results, in order to be able to, you know, move it forward. So and one of the reasons that you need the email marketing system is when you set up the opt-in page, you'll actually put a web form on the page. And the web form actually, you will set that up based on HTML code that you're provided by your email marketing system. You'll go in and select a couple of options, click a button, and then it will give you HTML code, which you can then copy and paste onto the opt-in page. By the way, opt-in pages, I also use the term lead capture page and also squeeze page, and then some people also call them landing pages as well. Some of these terms, there are slight differences between them, but most all of them describe something fairly similar. Now, why should you have people opt in at all? Good question. Well, there's all sorts of ways that you can market to people. You can market to them online. You can market to them offline. You can pick up the phone and call people. You can direct mail. In fact, I'm thinking right now about doing a direct mail campaign. In fact, I might do a couple different direct mail campaigns here at the end of the year. And so I don't strictly rely on online marketing to build my business. In fact, one of the strategies I'm using right now is telemarketing, picking up the phone, reaching out, and calling people. And so to me, that ties in with having an email marketing system. A broader term that's used to describe that type of system is a CRM, or customer relationship management system. And the technology gets a little confusing at times, because not all CRMs are email marketing systems. Not all email marketing systems are CRMs. You know, basically each system has its own set of functions. What I like to see in an email marketing system is a good way that you can build an email list and then send out messages. You can schedule messages to go out right now or in advance, and you can also use autoresponders. What I like to see in a CRM is the capability to store a lot of customer information. I like to be able to create custom fields where I can put information. I like to gather demographic information about my prospects and clients. I like to be able to gather social media links and store those in my CRM. I also like to be able to log calls. Every time I make a call to somebody, I log that into my CRM. So, you know, you might get something which is strictly an email marketing system like AWeber. It's not really designed to be a CRM, and so it doesn't really give you many opportunities to store other customer information in there. And then sometimes you end up with two systems. Like I use two systems, one shopping cart, and I use Zoho CRM for my CRM system. And so I have two systems, and whenever you have two systems, they're never going to be entirely in sync. You know, you're just not going to have all the same data in one and in the other. And so I have a process where I go through and I move records from one system to another so that I can consistently, you know, get that information in there. You know, Zoho can be used for email marketing, although it's somewhat limited in some cases. And so I like to have one shopping cart for that. So you have to find the right tools that will work for you. And once you have that in place, then it gives you what you need to do. And so with one shopping cart, I can easily go in and create a web form, and then I can put it onto an opt-in page and then set that up. So why would you want people to opt in at all? Well, you need the ability to market to people because, you know, some things that you do like social media, it's not really a permission-based marketing. It is permission-based in the sense that people are either your friends or not, but, you know, on social media, you are at the whim of, for instance, Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn about what rules they have for posting. And Facebook will often block people or consider their accounts spam for certain types of activities. Whereas on email, you have a lot more control over what messages that you can put out there, and it's a different type of communication channel than social media is. And so you can accomplish more in terms of your marketing oftentimes on email than social media. So I definitely encourage you to build an email list and be able to market over time. And I run into people occasionally. I was just talking to someone yesterday, and they said that they're not doing that much email marketing anymore. They'd actually had a large list at one point and had a problem, and it caused them to have to get their whole list to re-opt in, and that caused them to lose like 90% of their list. And so that was a little disappointing, and so they don't rely on email marketing as much as before. But I think it's certainly a great and viable strategy, and you never want to become too dependent on one strategy anyway. So, you know, if you have like one primary strategy that you're using and then suddenly it's not working anymore, then you're in trouble. So you need to diversify your marketing strategies so that you can get more capabilities or that you can, you know, accomplish more over time. And if you have, you know, a problem in one specific area, then you can make up for it in another. So where should you put your opt-in page? Well, you can have a standalone website if you want to for an opt-in page. I see that occasionally. I like to put mine on my own website. And so I'll give you an example of one. I have a free report on 33 simple strategies to build your email list. And you can find that by going to socialmediaoutcomes.com/33email. So that's actually on my website. And so I can create as many lead capture pages and even sales pages as I want on my website. I don't need to get a new domain and set up a new website every time I want to have a new opt-in page. One of the reasons people want to do it on their own on its own website is they don't want you to know who's behind it, in a sense. It's not they're trying to hide anything. It's just that they don't want you to navigate away from that page and then go look for other things. They want you just to opt in. But I'm satisfied enough that if somebody goes out to a page that if they're interested, they're going to opt in. It doesn't matter to me if they go, oh, socialmediaoutcomes.com, what's that, and then go to the main page. I create so many different lead capture pages and registration pages that it would just be ridiculous to have to set up different websites for the whole thing, so I don't bother doing that. And the other thing is every time you buy a domain, there's an additional cost and potential problems that you might have with it, so I think there's a benefit of keeping things consolidated. Now, how do you entice somebody to opt in on your page? What's going to cause them to want to opt in? Well, I think you need a compelling offer. You need something that's going to drive people or motivate them to want to opt in. It's something where, I mean, number one, you always create a free offer for your ideal clients. Who are your ideal clients? Who are your ideal customers? Think about them and then think, what can I create that they're going to want? They're going to want to, opt in for. And if you can create something like that, then that gives you the capability really to be able to have something that they want that you can offer and that they'll take advantage of. And so I always create my free offers intuitively. So I don't really follow like a scientific process or anything like that. I just kind of think about, I think about what are the needs of my clients? What are the needs of prospects, people who are on my email list? I think, what is it that they're struggling with? What would they like to accomplish? And so when I created that free report on 33 simple strategies to build your email list, I was coming from a place of what can I offer that I know is going to have kind of mass appeal almost, that that people would want it instantly. And that's pretty universal because, even for people who already have an email list. They're thinking, how do I build my email list? And for people who don't have an email list, they want to know, you know, what can I do to build, you know, once I set up an email marketing system, what can I do to build my list? So, and then it was just a matter of figuring out what the strategies were. Like, how many strategies do I want to share? What specific strategies do I want to include? How do I want to structure it? And then I came up with a free offer. By the way, what types of offers can you create? My go-to type of offer is a free report. I prefer writing. Not that I don't prefer other communication styles. It's just that when I create something, I usually create it in writing first, so it's easy for me to create the report first. And then you can also create audio programs. You can also create videos or online video series. And you can also put together other special offers or bundles or things like that. You could take an interview that you did with somebody and put that up on an opt-in. You could create a checklist or a top 10 list of websites or top 100 list of websites on a specific topic. There's really no limitation. The only, I would say the main thing is that you want to have something that really grabs their attention. And it should also be something that you're expert in, something that you want to be perceived as an expert in. And so email marketing aligns perfectly with my message. I position myself as an expert in the area of online marketing, social media, and also sales technology. And so email marketing crosses over, you know, each of those different areas. So it's a perfect natural fit. And sometimes I realize that some offers that I have might appeal to some people and other offers might appeal to somebody else. And so I do recommend that you create multiple opt-in pages. Jay Abraham said you need multiple lead generation systems. Eric Laufholm said until you have 10 online or 10 lead generation systems in place, you need to continue. And so how many lead generation systems do you have in place? I have over 500 different opt-in pages. Now, a lot of the opt-in pages that I've created are for events. An event registration page, a teleseminar, a webinar. Every time I set up a page, that's another lead generation system. And what's funny is sometimes I get an opt-in from a teleseminar that I did a long time ago. I did a Facebook marketing teleseminar in 2011. So that is 4 years ago. I think it was about August or September of 2011. And periodically I will get an opt-in off of that. And I don't even know where that registration page is. I lost track of where the page is. I mean, I've got over, how many pages do I have? I probably have, let's see, somewhere in the range of, I think maybe 600 or 700 pages. And that's not even my main site. That's, see, on my website, the way I have things designed, I have the main site where I have the blog, and then I have the secondary site where I have my lead capture pages and my squeeze pages and sales pages. So let me see here. I have, it's pulling up, 782 pages, web pages. And that's only on my secondary site. So on the other site, I'll give you the number of that one too. And I have multiple websites beyond the Social Media Outcomes website as well. I have the Sales Tech Systems website. I have YourSuccessAndWealth.com. Okay, here we go. But I just want to give you a sense of, you know, what it takes if you want to go for it. One of the things that I find is that people are really reluctant or resistant to create, you know, web pages and content and information. Okay, here we go. On my main site where I have my blog, just plain socialmediaoutcomes.com, I have 24 web pages and I have 180 blog posts. 24 web pages and 180 blog posts. And that's on top of having, 782 squeeze pages or sales pages on my site. And that also, by the way, that also includes membership pages. So like whenever I do a webinar, I post up the video there or do an audio or like this program, I have web pages up there with the links. So, you know, there can be some effort in implementing online marketing in your business. And when I talk about opt-in pages, I talk about, in fact, I talk about this a lot. I teach it in several of my programs. I just did a free webinar on this a couple weeks ago. And one of the reasons I really try to hammer this point home is that I think, you know, you should be implementing a new opt-in page every single quarter. Every single quarter. I mean, I do like, you know, four or five opt-in pages, you know, per month and sometimes more. So I think for most business owners, if you could commit to creating one opt-in page per quarter, then you would keep building your online lead generation systems so that you can have more people opt in. I've created a lot of opt-in pages for Eric Lofholm. In fact, he's got we have an opt-in page that's set up for registration for his events coming up. He's doing a couple events, like one later this week and then one in September called The Close. It's a two-day event he does. And so this week, starting on the 22nd, I believe it is, he's going to be in San Diego, and then next month in September, he'll be in San Francisco. And so I set up the registration for page for that. That's it's a $995 training that he's offering for free. So that web page where people go and register, that is an opt-in page. They're opting into his email list. Now, a lot of people that are opting in, they're already on his email list. And so, you know, if somebody's already on your email list and they opt in again, it's not like anything special, you know, happens. You know, they're already on the list. The main reason to have them opt in is for tracking, because then you can it adds them automatically to a list. And now you can send reminder emails or communicate through an autoresponder series to them. So there's a whole strategy piece behind this of what happens after somebody opts in. And we'll talk about this a little bit later. In fact, we'll open up here in a couple minutes for Q&A. So if you join the call a little bit late, we are participating and sharing ideas and information. Share your golden nuggets and takeaways out in the Facebook group. Go to the Sales Technology Training Program group out on Facebook, and you can find the link in the email message I sent out. And then, so I'm just checking in to see how we're doing on comments. Our comment goal for today's call is 50. Looks like we are up to 19, and it looks like Roy's out there leading the charge. So let me encourage everyone else to join in. I see that Alan posted out there, Karen posted a couple times, Susan posted a couple times, so great job. Let me call out those who have not posted out on the page yet. Brian Hearn, Shannon Newt. So feel free to join us over in the Facebook group. In fact, let me just put a post out there. I'll say join us here, Brian, and join us here, Shanna. Okay, so you should get a little notification through Facebook telling you that I just posted a message in the Facebook group for that. Okay, let me continue on with our content. So let's talk about once you have the opt-in page set up, and I'll come back and talk a little bit about how to create the opt-in page in a moment, but once you have the opt-in page set up, how do you actually get people out to your opt-in page? Well, let me share with you six different strategies, and you can add these as takeaways in the group if you want to. Six ways to get traffic to your opt-in page. Number one, through a blog. So going back to this concept I was talking about earlier, blogging. I mentioned I have, I think, over 180 blog posts, and going to be adding a lot more content coming up as well. Getting ready to start posting again on at least a weekly basis and starting to add some new content out to my site. But blogging is a way that I get people out to my website. Number two, social media. Social media is a great way. In fact, periodically I will share a free offer out you know, Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn. And, you know, occasionally that causes people to opt in. You can't just expect you're going to put a post out there and get, you know, a dozen opt-ins. It just doesn't happen that way. I mean, even if you have a pretty big list, you know, number one, you know, people don't assume that people will automatically see it. See, with a lead capture page, an opt-in offer, oftentimes that doesn't get as much response as other types of social media posts. And so, because it's not getting as much response, it won't show up that much in the newsfeed. So one of the things you can think about is if you do add, and by the way, if you're promoting your opt-in page, you should probably do that primarily on your business page rather than your personal page. Sometimes I'll put it on my personal page, but I'm really starting to try to pull back from doing much business-type posts on my personal page.
The host has joined the conference.
Hello, it's Rick. I am back. Sorry about that. That was bizarre. The line just all of a sudden dropped, so I don't know what happened. But I am back here, and hopefully, oh, you know what? Let's see. I think the call is still recording, so I'm just going to let it roll. Hopefully, there'll just be a small blank spot on the call, and then we'll resume in for those listening to the recording. But looks like folks are popping back on. I see Susan's back, Shanna, Karen, Roy. Looks like we lost Brian. Hopefully he joins back in. But at any rate, let's continue on. So I was just reviewing the second strategy to get traffic to your opt-in page, which is social media. And I was just mentioning that I recommend using your business page for that. You can also use an advertisement, and in fact, that's a strategy that I'm going to be ramping up on this fall, is to do more Facebook advertising. I'm going to do some boosted posts, and I'm also going to be doing some Facebook ads in the sidebar, and I've done that in the past and used it to promote opt-in pages. I've used it specifically with the 33 Simple Strategies to Build Your Email List report, and I've gotten pretty good results with it. You really have to kind of tend to it and try out different things, and you can only really run your ads for a couple days at a time and then kind of have to stop, and then you can resume them after a period of time. But it does take a bit of tending when you're doing ads, so it's not like a set it and forget it kind of thing. It's a set it and then monitor to see what results that you're getting. But I found that to be a good strategy in terms of lead generation. I've also found it really good for event marketing. So I do a lot of event marketing. And by the way, you know, I keep sharing this on, you know, a lot of calls and trainings that I do. If you are not doing teleseminars, webinars, or Google Hangouts, you should be. You know, if you want to be successful in the online space, you need to step up as a leader. You need to step up as a trainer. Even though if you're not primarily a trainer or primarily coach, you have an opportunity to educate people on a topic. And, you know, I have, let's see, how many topics have I done? I have done probably over 50 different topics. So I've created, that's just free, like free teleseminars or webinars. I probably have 50 different topics that I've created over the last 10, 11 years. And then on top of that, I've created probably about a dozen different training programs on different topics. I've done all sorts of social media training topics. I've done blogging topics, online marketing, sales training technology, or sales technology training, and many more. And so you don't have to do that many in terms of getting results. All you need is a topic that you can present. And then use, you know, all sorts of marketing. Use email marketing. You can use market through social media. You could do Facebook ads if you wanted to. You could also post out online. There are all sorts of websites out there where you can post an announcement. I mean, Craigslist is one of them. You can post a class out on Craigslist and use that as a way to generate leads. See, an opt-in page, well, think about it this way. If you're offering a free class, and you're using that as a tool to attract people to you, and like an attraction marketing strategy, that is a lead capture page. So a registration page is a lead capture page. It has, well, I mean, there's probably many purposes for doing it, but one of which is to have people fill out the form and then opt into your email list. So very powerful. Method number three of getting traffic to your opt-in page is joint venture partners. And in fact, I just want to, I'll throw this out there. I'm, this fall, I will also be doing a lot more with joint venture partners. And so I'm going to be sending out some email messages asking for people to joint venture with me. And so you might see something coming along related to that. And there's all sorts of different joint ventures that I do with people. But you want to think creatively about who is in your network that you could partner with in some way. And so the simple example here, how you could leverage a joint venture partner is to ask them to send out an email and include a link out to your opt-in page. Now, clearly, your opt-in page needs to have an offer that would be interesting to that particular person's list, you know, whether it's their social media list or their email list. It needs to be something that their audience would want. And so, you know, think through that process when you're reaching out to somebody. By the way, that's also a benefit of having multiple opt-in pages. If I just had one opt-in page and I went to somebody and said, here's my page, and they go, well, that's not, you know, not of any interest to me or my audience. Oh, okay. Well, thanks. Bye. Versus if I have 10, you know, free reports, say, then I could say, I've got this one. And they go, oh, not interested in that. What are some of the topics you are interested in? Oh, this, that, and the other. Oh, what about this? I have a free report on this topic. Oh, that's perfect. Great. Excellent. Here you go. Let me send over the email. It will have a link, and you can send it out and then offer that to your audience. Great. So that's a process. That's a strategy that you can use. Method number four, social bookmarking. Social bookmarking. This is kind of an interesting topic. I've done an entire teleseminar just talking about social bookmarking. So the only thing I want to really get into is that there are different websites that are out there where it acts as like a public bookmarking. So imagine if you bookmark a page through Firefox or Google Chrome. You bookmark it because you want to go back there later. Well, that's great, but you're the only one that can see that bookmark. The way the social bookmarking works is you post a link out there on the social bookmarking site, then other people can see it, not just you. So one of the sites that's a social bookmarking site is delicious.com. And another one, which is a social bookmarking site, it's kind of a quasi-blog, quasi-social media site, is called Tumblr, T-U-M-B-L-R, Tumblr.com. I have a Tumblr site that's set up. I post a number of different things out there. I found a new use for it back in the spring, because I discovered that when I set up a Instagram account, Instagram allows me to post out to my Tumblr account. And so my Tumblr account was just sitting there, not doing much, and then I started posting pictures out to Instagram, and then I could also publish them out on Tumblr, which is great because Tumblr loves pictures. So the people that are on Tumblr, a lot of the content is visual. And so that's a great site if you want to do visual marketing, if you want to post pictures and videos. Tumblr is a great site to put it out there. What's nice about it is it has a built-in audience. There are already people out there, and so you're sharing things, and so it's just like a social media site where you, in fact, that's what social bookmarking is. It's just another form of social media, but it's all strictly around links. The next method number five is Craigslist and other websites. I talked about that one a little bit earlier. And then the final one is event marketing, which I also talked about. I got ahead of myself. So event marketing is just a way that you can, you know, drive traffic out to an opt-in or a registration page. All right, well, let's go ahead and pause for a moment. I want to pop out into the Facebook group and see who's posting out there and read some of the comments. I've got a few more ideas that I'll share with you. Also, remind me, I want to share some more ideas about email marketing, and I'll talk to you about some of the things that I'm doing right now. All right, looks like we are up to, let's see, 38, 39. 40, 41, 42. We're up to 42. Our goal today is 50. You guys are almost there. So great job. Keep going. So let's see here. Alan said, subject opt-in pages. Roy said, the 12 modules cover the three key sales systems, lead generation, appointment setting, and lead conversion. Absolutely. Karen said, greetings from Atlanta, and said she uses Eye Contact. Eye contact is a good one. It's similar to Constant Contact, similar to AWeber, and I've heard that eye contact has a really good email deliverability rate, meaning that when you send out your emails, it's much more likely that they'll actually be delivered to the person you're sending it to. And the reason why other email marketing services might not is because one of the factors that influences whether email messages go out is whether they've had that much spam. There are institutions that are spam houses, which sit between the email marketing system and wherever you're sending your messages to. And so if they identify that messages being sent out by a specific provider tend to have a higher level of spam, then that works against you. And so, it's a good thing to have a higher email deliverability rate. It means more of your email messages are making it through to the person that you're trying to reach. And that's kind of like at a global level, because you could still get, have issues with your individual account, or even a specific individual message might be flagged for spam. Roy said, an email list is a prerequisite for an opt-in form. Yeah, there is a workaround, by the way. I'll just share real quickly with you. There are ways that you can embed a web form onto a web page that does not come from an email marketing system. An example would be there are plugins for WordPress. There's actually a plugin that comes with a Jetpack, which it can be installed within WordPress. Jetpack is a kind of a set of utilities that comes from WordPress, and there are also separate plugins that allow you to create what's called a contact form. And so with a contact form, you could ask for name, email, and phone number, for instance. And then what happens is when they fill out the form, that information is emailed to you. So it comes to you in an email. So you could do that as an alternative, but you aren't building your email list, because that email isn't really going anywhere. It's just going to you, so it's not being added to a list. You won't be able to email market to them. And then the other thing is the process is entirely manual, because if they are registering for something or requesting something, now you have to turn around and respond to them. So there is an alternative, but I don't think it's a very good alternative. And by the way, that same tool can be used if you wanted to add a contact form on your like on your contact page, where it's like, please fill out the form below and we will follow up with you. So that's really what those forms are designed for. But you could also use them as a web form. Let's see. Roy said, I currently use AWeber for myself and AWeber and MailChimp for clients. Awesome. AWeber is a great one. It's been used. It's used by a lot of internet marketers and also network marketers as well. Susan said, GetResponse. And I've worked a little bit with GetResponse. It's got a number of different opt-in forms that can be created and put onto a web page. Roy said, opt-in page can also be called a squeeze page or a landing page with slightly different connotations and emphasis. Opt-in emphasizes signing up for the mailing list. Squeeze page is a page where there's only one action available other than leaving the page, and can be for an opt-in to a mailing list or can be a sales page. A landing page is a page visitors to a site are steered toward to land on. Yeah, a landing page does not necessarily have to be an opt-in page. That's why you don't usually use the term landing page. For example, if let's say that on your Twitter account you have a website link. Like for me, I think I just have socialmediaoutcomes.com. What is common is to create a landing page that's customized for your Twitter visitors. So for instance, I could create, socialmediaoutcomes.com/blank, and then have that be my page for people coming from Twitter. And then when they land on that page, it would say, hey Twitter pals, hey tweeps, hey tweeple, thanks for popping by. Here are some great Twitter tips and blah, blah, blah. And by the way, here's a free offer if you want it, something like that. But anyway, a landing page doesn't necessarily have to be an opt-in form. It could just be a page that you're, as Roy said, you're steering traffic towards. And by the way, in addition to having an opt-in page or a squeeze page or lead capture page, you can also just have an opt-in form on your website. So you could have an opt-in form every page of your website if you wanted to with a free offer. And so I don't necessarily call that an opt-in page. It's more like a web page with an opt-in form. You know, so a lot of these things, it's kind of wishy-washy as far as the exact language. It still accomplishes the same thing, but it's designed differently. To me, when I think of opt-in page or lead capture page, I think it's a standalone web page. The only offer there is to opt in. You don't have a bunch of other links on there, which, you know, your website typically does. And so that's that. Susan says, and a landing page will often include an opt-in form too. Yeah, some landing pages do have opt-in forms. Sometimes they'll have other links there as well. Roy said, question for list building, what free information can you offer that will appeal to your target market? Yeah, great question. And Roy says, sometimes an opt-in form will generate registrations for years, even after you've forgotten about it. Absolutely. And Roy said, Rick has a lot of opt-in forms. Yeah, I do. Susan said, I just got my computer rebooted, so I could post more now. Awesome. Welcome back, Susan. I think it was like 18 minutes ago. Let's see. Shanna said, what was the link to Rick's website with the 33 tips? And it looks like Roy shared the link out there, so thanks for sharing that, Roy. That was socialmediaoutcomes.com/33email. That's the number 3 email. Roy said, ways to generate traffic to an opt-in page, 1 blog, 2 social media. And that's about where everybody lost the audio. And catching up on messages here. Let's see. Okay, everybody's back. Here's me again. Here we go. Number 3, ads. Actually, number 3 was joint venture partners. Oh, wait. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, I think ads was like a bonus in there. So number 3 was joint venture partners. Number 4 was social bookmarking. Karen says, I missed the social bookmarking webinar. I'll have to listen to that one. Yeah, I don't think I've done that one in a long time. I'll have to see if I can dig out the content on that. I probably won't do that one anytime soon. But Karen said, I never thought about an email marketing system deliverability rate. Great point. Thanks. Yeah, different systems have, you know, some of them are better than others. And even within the email marketing system, it can also be based on the server you're sending out from. So depending on whether somebody has opted or double opted in or not, your message will be sent from a different server by your email provider. So they use different servers, you know, for originating the messages and sending them out. And each server may have a different rating, I guess it would be, or treated differently by the spam houses when the messages come through. So it's, you know, it's kind of an interesting process. There's only so much that you can control. So, you know, I just, you know, work on creating great messages and sending them out. So, you know, I think the email deliverability, that's a tough one to find out, by the way. It's not like you can just easily find that information before or, you know, go out there and search for it and find it. So that's a tough one to find out. All right, let's see here. So it looks like I'm caught up on the posts. Let me share a few more ideas, and you can share some more takeaways there. Actually, let me just talk about the email marketing piece and what I'm doing right now. I'm working right now on updating my email list. I actively work my email list. And so in my system, I have, you know, X number of contacts. And I go through my list, and I look at each record one by one, and I take a look, and I make sure it's coded properly. I look up certain information. I'll go do searches online. I will look for social media contacts and add that in my system. I will make sure that they're receiving my email newsletter, and if not, then I may add them to my newsletter so they can receive that. I also kind of think about each one, like how long have they been on my email list? Have they bought anything before? What can I do to follow up with them? And then I also think about what list people are on and then which list that I can market to. This is an advanced strategy called email list segmentation. And our topic today is not really about email, but since we're talking about opt-in pages and, you know, getting people on your email list, I'll share a few ideas. So within an email marketing system, you should have the capability to add people to lists, either automatically or manually. And it may be either called a list or a tag. So there are different systems use different terminology. The system I use, One Shopping Cart, in the past had only used autoresponder lists, but in the last year they've added a tagging capability, which is closer to what's used by other systems like Infusionsoft and GreenRope and trying to think of what other systems. Oh, OAP or Office Automation Pilot use tags. And so now that they've added tags in, now I'm thinking creatively about, well, how can I use tags and how can I take things that were set up as an autoresponder list and move it to a tag? Tags, there's a number of benefits to them. One is just kind of capability or you know, ease of use in adding them to lists, sorting your lists, running through your lists. And but I think about what lists I have and, you know, which, you know, like for instance, if I want to do a specific promotion promoting a product, then I want to think about, well, who is the best audience to promote that to? In some cases, I may promote that to my entire list. In other cases, I might want to reach out to one list specifically or multiple lists with a specific offer. Or I might take a specific group of clients, you know, who have purchased a product before and then market something specifically to them. So email marketing to me is about thinking strategically, like how can I best leverage my list? How can I monetize my list? That's a great question to jot down in your notes. How can I monetize my email list? How can I monetize my email list? Write that down and then think strategically about that. And so email list segmentation, being able to segment your list, is a great way to do that. And speaking of segmentation, One Shopping Cart also added the capability of creating what they call segments, which are really like a search. So whereas a tag is assigned to a specific record, and so I can go in and I can view the tags, a segment is a way of doing a search. Like, for instance, I could create a segment or a search based on what I would call, say, old leads. And so I could do a search based on when people originally opted into my email list. And so I could say, give me everybody from, you know, 2005 to 2011. And then I call that segment old leads. And then I could actually send an email message to that segment. So a segment's different from tag, and that's different from a list. And so each system, the terminology is a little bit different. So whatever system you're using, you'll have to take a look to see what capabilities that you have. Like I think AWeber only has autoresponder lists. It's more of like One Shopping Cart used to be. I don't think you have tagging capability. I don't think you have the capability to create segments. And I don't think you can really do searches and send emails. MailChimp is very limited. MailChimp, you can only send an email message to one specific list at a time. Whereas within One Shopping Cart, I can go in and I can select multiple lists or multiple tags, and I can send out a message to a group of people at once. So I like the capability of selecting who I want to send a specific message to. There's not a need to send an email message out to every person on your list every time, because sometimes you're sending out something that doesn't necessarily appeal to everybody. So there's a lot that's involved in email marketing. And if you're going to build an email list, you want to really learn how to leverage email marketing in your business. And, you know, I've been, you know, managing my own email marketing since 2003. I've done email marketing for Eric Lofholm. I've done email marketing for Laurel Langmire. So I've got a lot of experience in the industry. I've written emails for a lot of clients. I've written autoresponder series for clients. There's a lot of different areas that I've done related to email marketing. Yeah, so I mean, if there's one idea that you get from that discussion, it's work your list. Go through your list contact by contact. And, you know, I code information in there. I've created custom fields. Like one of the fields I created in there, actually a couple of them, I have a field called profession, and I created a drop-down list with a number of different professional fields. Like many of my ideal clients are coaches, speakers, trainers, and consultants. And so I have those in there as well as others. And so I will, you know, as much as I know about a specific person, until I can get more information, I'll take a guess or I'll leave it blank. And then once I learn, then I will code that specifically in the system. I also have a time zone field. If I'm exporting a list, for instance, if I want to, I can export a list if I wanted to create a call list. So I could say, I want to take everybody that registered for, in fact, I just did this recently. I said, I want everybody who registered for one of my last 15 webinars that I did, like 15 webinars, 15 business days in a row. And so after I had finished tagging everybody in the system, I was able to export the list. I brought it into Google Docs. But one of the fields that I exported was the time zone field. And so that's, I looked that up. I look them up one by one. So I can figure out time zone based on area code. Those are things I all code manually in my system. So I spend a lot of time in my email marketing database, or CRM, because that's where my money is. Eric Laflamme said your email list is an asset. And so that's the way I view it. I think strategically about how I can reach people, how I can market to people. I think about what are the right touches I need to be making right now. Do I need to be sending out a direct mail piece, a postcard, a sales letter? Do I need to be doing email marketing, social media marketing? And usually the answer is I need to be doing all those simultaneously right now. All right, let's see here. Let me get back to messages on Facebook. Karen said, Tweeple, ha, ha, ha. Yes, and I think the official spelling of Tweeple, according to Gary Loper, is T-W-E-O-P-L-E, Tweeple. Gary's got a whole bunch of Twitter terms. Susan said, I've never understood social bookmarking either. I think I'll go search for it on YouTube. Yeah, one of the nice things about Delicious now is that they integrated it with Twitter. So you can log in with your Twitter account, and it will bring all of your Twitter friends over into Delicious. And so you can basically see what they've bookmarked in there. So it's, just think of it this way. The way I look at it is it's kind of the breadcrumb strategy. It's Hansel and Gretel. You know, they went into the forest. They wanted to make sure they could, they left the trail of breadcrumbs so they could find their way back home, and they ended up at the witch's house and almost got baked in an oven. Well, we don't want you to get baked in an oven. But the way social bookmarking works is that you're leaving breadcrumbs all over the Internet so people will find you. And so social bookmarking is all about getting your links out in multiple places. So every blog post that you should have it social bookmarked on multiple sites. Even Twitter acts as a social bookmarking site because it gives you the capability to create a favorite. And you favorite a tweet. So you would first tweet about it, and then you would add it as a favorite. And that acts as a social bookmark. So it doesn't really matter that you're getting a ton of traffic. It's just about doing the strategy. And it doesn't mean that you need to, give up every other strategy to do that. It's just like if you wrote a blog post and you posted it, then there's certain things that you would want to do to get it out there. You would probably want to maybe mention it in your email newsletter. You would want to post it out on social media. You would want to maybe record a video and link back to the blog post. There's all sorts of things that you can do. You can post it out on the social bookmarking site. You could ask somebody to share it with their list, whatever. So, as you're creating content on the Internet, just think about all the different ways that you could get people out to that specific blog post, for instance. Susan says, Rick, do you keep a separate list for your newsletter? Does that mean anytime someone opts into any list, you have to also copy them to the newsletter list? I don't have mine set up that way. I just send my newsletter to all lists. Good question. Yes, I code mine manually. The way that I like things to work is that when somebody opts into my list, I do not automatically add them to the newsletter list. What I do is I manually code them to a welcome series. I have a series of 6 email autoresponders that go out that welcome them to my email list. It doesn't necessarily say, welcome to my email list. It just starts in and it just starts adding value. And so I want them to get that first, and then after they've gone through that, then I will add that to the newsletter list. One shopping cart is not particularly good at automation versus something like Infusionsoft or Office Automation Pilot. I've considered switching to one of those services. I'd like to be able to do more automation with my email, but there's the cost factor and then there's the hassle factor of moving my list. And it's just not something I want to deal with right now. So maybe in a future year I'll decide to move it. So I have to manually code that. So what I do is I export my new records periodically about once a month. I import them into Google Docs. I add them into a spreadsheet, and I manually go through and I work that list. And when I say I'm working my list, that's partly what I'm doing. And so I've actually been doing a little bit over the last week going through and just going through record by record, checking every single one to make sure everybody's coded properly. Have they been added? Have they gotten the welcome series? Have they gotten the email? And making sure they get that. oftentimes I will just go in every single day into my email list when I'm on top of it, and I will, you know, like, in fact, I have two people that opted in this week. I can tell you what they opted in for. Let me go out here. One was yesterday and one was today. And so if I'm out there in my email list every day, I can automatically see when somebody opts in. So there was somebody yesterday who opted in, and they opted in for the call that I did last Friday. They opted in for that. And so here's an opt-in that I got on the 18th for a call that I did on Friday. But I did market that as for 2 days. I actually think I need to go out and update that page, that registration page, and just mention that it's coming up on tomorrow. But at any rate, they opted in, so I went in and automatically added them to my welcome list. Now, I would forget otherwise, you know, when that list, like the email autoresponder series goes for 12 days. So I would forget that I needed to add them to the email list unless I had the spreadsheet. And so I will go back through that spreadsheet and keep checking it and go, okay, these are getting to the point where they need to be added to the email list, so then I will go and add that. If I were using a system that allowed automation, then I could set up and say, when anybody opts in for anything, add them to the welcome series. And then once the welcome series concludes, then begin the email newsletter series, or not series, but add them to that list. I'm also going to be working on recoding. Like right now I have my email list set up as an autoresponder list. I'm actually going to change that to be a tag. One of the differences with autoresponders, those lists are visible. If somebody goes to opt out or to change their subscription, they can see what autoresponder list they're on, whereas tags are invisible. They're invisible to the client. So I have over 200 autoresponders set up, so it will be a long, slow, tedious process to get all of them moved over as tags. And obviously, I can't move everything over because some of them are actual autoresponder series with messages going out. So hopefully that gives you a little insight into the email piece. I don't usually cover that as a topic on this particular call, but that's one of the benefits of continuing to come back to this program again and again, is sometimes you get additional information that you might not on another call where I'm doing the same topic. You know, it just depends on what questions come up, and also, you know, what I'm going through in my own business, I can share some additional insights. Roy said, strategic question, how can I monetize my email list? Absolutely. And then he says, segmentation can help you monetize your list. Yeah, segmentation is all about getting the right message to the right people. It's a rifle approach versus a shotgun approach. Shotgun approach is and it's kind of like throwing spaghetti against the wall. You just try to hit everybody with one message and hope that something sticks. Whereas the rifle approach is reaching a smaller audience, but with a message that's targeted to them specifically. It's written in their language. So, for instance, and I'll just give you an example here. Two of my lists are based on free reports. One of them is on 10 ways to monetize social media. The other one is on 33 simple strategies to build your email list. So each one of those lists could have some of the same people on it. But what I could do is I could create targeted emails to each one of those lists, one with a message that's more oriented toward social media, the other with a message that's more oriented toward email marketing. That's the benefit of email list segmentation, getting the right message to the right person at the right time. That sounds like a tagline. Susan said, GetResponse does not have tags, as far as I know. I segment people by campaigns and by the web form they use to opt in. Good. Yeah, campaigns, I don't know if that's exactly the same as like an autoresponder list, but it sounds maybe something similar to that. So good. And what would be nice, you might want to check into this, is see if you can send a message to people in multiple campaigns at once. Like MailChimp, you can only, you know, it's one message, one list. Whereas some others like iContact, I've used iContact before, and with iContact, you can send a message and you can select multiple lists to send that to. Roy said, email lists are assets. Yeah, it's an asset you can monetize. Susan said, GetResponse has a nice feature where you can see on a world map how many subscribers you have in each time zone. You can also choose to send an email at a scheduled time where it will go out at that time in each time zone instead of sending them all at once. Wow, that's a pretty unique feature. I haven't seen that before. Interesting. Yeah, actually, that would be kind of cool because I have to pick times for mine where, you know, like I usually send mine out at 9:15 a.m. Pacific time, which is 12:15 Eastern time. I figure I'm going to grab the people who are just getting to work on the West Coast and the people who are just taking their lunch on the East Coast. But it would be kind of nice to have it go out in each particular time zone. That must be a real pain to have to manage on their part, but that's really interesting. And then Roy said, don't let Google eat your breadcrumbs. There you go. Yeah, absolutely. Well, on that humorous note, let's go ahead and wrap the call for today. I want to thank you for joining me on the call. Hopefully you got a ton of ideas. You probably got too many ideas today. So I wanted you to go back through your notes and prioritize. Look for which ideas you can implement in the next week. And ideally pick one idea that you can implement in the next 24 hours. There's probably something that you could take that I shared on the call today that you can take and implement right now. So thanks for joining me on the call. I look forward to connecting with you next week. Have a great week, and God bless.